Kylie Minogue got on the phone from her London apartment to chat to The Big Issue, where she revealed what she's been up to during lockdown. Kylie has been recording her new album, Disco, whilst also dancing around the kitchen and living in her tracky dacks. At least half of that would be true for a lot of us. Amy Hetherington, editor at The Big Issue, joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how does Kylie link her new album, Disco, to the times we're living in now?
Well, as she says, it's escapism, really. It's about putting on a song. It's about finding a bit of happiness, whether it's 3.5 minutes in the world that we're living in. But she also talks to us about disco being a response to darkness, and it's disco's sort of come out of that space. Sure, it's sequins and glitter and it's a really good time, but it's also about creating safe spaces for people historically and all that sort of thing. So we talked to her about that, and also that this album has come out of lockdown and is her response to it in some ways. It was recorded in her home in lockdown in London. She's doing more things, engineering and things like that on this album than she's done before. And I think, you know, she's found a way to find a bit of sparkle and light in this time that we're going through as well.
And Kylie's obviously such an enduring icon of Australian culture, really. It feels like she's been with us for so long. Do you have a Desert Island Kylie Minogue song?
Oh, look, I was going through this. My first memory of Kylie was actually when she was on Young Talent Time as a guest singer along with her sister Danny, and they were doing a duet to Eurythmics. Sisters are doing it for themselves, and they were wearing these amazing silver outfits and this crazy big 80s hair. But, yeah, like you said, I think she's been such a big part of Australian culture for so long, whether it's from that to Henderson Kids to Neighbours, all that sort of early pop stuff, and then you'd all heard the Confide in Me sort of time where she sort of became a little bit of an indie darling for a minute. But look, I think she's got a lot of different Kylies and she speaks to that. We've seen her go through so many different evolutions, but you know, she's managed to stay at the top that whole time.
Absolutely. And Jimmy Barnes, speaking of cultural icons, wrote about learning to overcome his fears. What can readers expect to see behind the curtain of Jimmy Barnes?
Well, Jimmy has obviously has become a writer, really, in the last few years. He's released, this is his third memoir that's out at the moment. It's called Killing Time. And it's a lot of sort of vignettes or short stories through his life. And this is speaking to that. This is about his fears and fears that have that he's held throughout his life, fears that have perhaps been inherited from through his family. And he's talking about being able to overcome those, and learning to maybe ditch a bit of the bravado and leaning into those fears. But he's a really lovely writer, and it's a really moving piece that he's done.
And this edition is really jam-packed with music. There's also a letter to their younger self from Kucha Edwards, a singer-songwriter. What did he have to say?
Yeah, this is, as you said, we have the regular Letter to My Younger Self column, and Kucha's talking about music being his best friend and finding the ally through his life from being really young. He talks about thinking he was going to be a basketballer at one point, but obviously music is his passion. He talks about, one of his first memories is being taken from his family as part of the Stolen Generation. He also talks about working on new lyrics to the national anthem with Judith Durham, who's from the Seekers. He's talking about how his music can make a difference and does make a difference, and about how he's sort of, passing that on to the new generation.
Speaking with Amy Hetherington, editor of The Big Issue, about their latest edition. And this part I'm really excited about, the big picture part of The Big Issue looks at doomsday preppers across the US, particularly in the context of the pandemic that we've been living through. So how do their skills keep them safe and food secure?
Oh, yeah. I mean, today there's the election in the US. It feels even more sort of poignant, I think. Yes, the doomsday preppers, there's this a photographer called Henry Hargreaves, who's in the US. He's a food photographer, and he's been speaking to doomsday preppers on and off for a few years just to see what they eat and what they're preparing for in, you know, the case of Armageddon. And he's tapped into them and reconnected during the pandemic. And obviously, they're all doing pretty well. They're quite well prepared for this. One of the doomsday preppers was saying to him, you know, his neighbours haven't been so fortunate. They've lost their jobs. The money's run out. But he has managed to be able to feed himself and his family and feels, you know, quite safe and secure. And another one is saying, you know, I'm not worried. I'm just ready. So, you know, the preparation for all various things. They talk about what they figured the Armageddon would be, and I don't think any of them had predicted a virus. But, yeah, they you know, the doomsday preppers are the ones that, you know, are the best prepared for this. I don't think they really understood toilet paper, though, because none of them seem to have stocked toilet paper too much. I think that might have been something to prepare for next time.
Well, yeah, it's a truly incredible insight. Amy, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Amy Hetherington, editor at The Big Issue. For those stories and more, you can head to thebigissue.org.au, or, of course, always you can pick one up from your local vendor.